Welcome to Adulting in the Modern World with Donna, Sahar, and Danielle. This is a podcast dedicated to help women catalyze their own transformation and engage in their evolution in a conscious way. We are three transformational coaches that share tools, processes, practices, and wisdom to support you in designing your life in a fun, joy-filled, and abundant way.
Welcome to another episode of Adulting in the Modern World. We're almost here in the fall season in the Northern Hemisphere, and it's a really, really good time to pause and reflect on how much we've grown over the last three quarters of the year so far and kind of what's showing up for us at this time. We're also going into Libra season, which is about the balance and justice, and it's part of the conversation about boundaries. How do we honor ourselves while maintaining a relationship with others and honoring them as well? And how do we kind of keep that scale of justice in balance and in harmony, where we're considering our needs and wants and we're considering the needs and wants of others, and we can be in relationships that are harmonious, fulfilling, and loving? And part of that is that we really need healthy boundaries. And a lot of us, we don't know how to set healthy boundaries. We may not know what boundaries, healthy boundaries look like, if we've had them crossed before, or if we grew up in households and structures that we never really had it modeled to us. So today we're going to kind of talk about our own ways that what we've learned about boundaries, how we kind of set our boundaries up in our relationships, and what we've learned so far from the school of life as transformational coaches. So I know that before we started recording, Danielle had some really, really good insights in terms of what she's been noticing in her life and how she's been kind of honoring boundaries in her world. So Danielle, do you mind sharing and starting off the conversation for us?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. We're happy to be back here with Sahar. Sahar, we missed you. You're such an important component to this podcast. Thank you for being back. And I hope you had a beautiful kind of break. So for me, I've been going through these boundary issues, although I am a relationship coach, but we're constantly growing, right? It doesn't mean that we personally don't face these kind of issues ourselves or challenges. For the past couple of months, I've been facing few boundary issues, which were how to set boundaries while respecting other people's feelings, other people's dignity, and other people's pride and ego. That's been something I've been trying to comprehend better, trying to implement better. Throughout our days or throughout our life, we have to set boundaries with different kind of people, with our kids, different ages, with the people around us, the shopkeeper, the laundry sales guy, the delivery guy, the taxi driver, you know. So we've got different kind of gap boundaries, which are easy if there are these kind of boundaries. But then when it comes to intimate relationships, it gets a bit more complicated. It's like family, putting the boundaries with family members. When things get a little bit emotional, we tend to become a little bit dysfunctional and things kind of blow out of place. So part of what I coach, especially in trauma management and emotional healing, in kind of achieving emotional intelligence in crisis management, in chaos management, I train people to kind of disconnect their emotions from the situation, face the reality, where I don't mean disacknowledge their emotion, but really separate these two things. Just face the reality as is. Once you face the reality as is, then you can kind of understand better. Understanding is power. Knowledge is power. Once you have that power, then you know how to act. You know how to direct your actions. I hope it makes sense. And then, well, when feelings are really strong, when you tap into your feeling, really tap in, like, for example, when you say I'm irritated or I'm angry or I'm confused or I'm sad, these are really generic feelings. There is always a deeper, ugly feeling to it. This is why we sometimes overreact to boundaries, when someone else is setting boundaries, we overreact to them. Let's say, for example, recently it happened to me that I had to tell some person that I would like to honor my morning time because it's really special to me. And it's part of my holistic growth. It's part of my spiritual growth. Now, depending on how that person perceives themselves, this is how they will react to how the boundary is communicated. A lot of time when you go to different coaches or therapists or counselors, they tell you it depends on how you communicate it, but not always. It doesn't really always mean that you have to really overthink how you communicate it. You just have to say what you really feel and what you really need. And the other person will have to have the capacity to acknowledge it. It's like when you need an off day, for example, this Thursday, then your manager can tell you, I'm sorry, you cannot take your day off on Thursday. You will not throw a temper tantrum because your manager told you that you cannot take a Thursday off, you know? So you will just kind of retract. Then this is where you're not really putting a lot of, you have to kind of disconnect your emotion from that situation. So it's exactly the same in life for me. Maybe I come in very pragmatic, but it's the reality. It's the same thing as if I tell you, you know what, Sahar, I'm sorry, I don't have this week. I don't have a lot of time for us to have coffee. You know, we're very good friends. Let's say we used to have coffee like every 2 days. And this week, I don't have time to have coffee. Will you take it personal? You know, that depends on your level of maturity. That depends on how you see yourself. So I think each person has to be true to themselves, has to be true to their value, to their ethic, to their discipline, to their schedule. Doesn't mean that we cannot be flexible. We can be flexible, but really true to what they really need and what irritates that person, because we don't have to kind of, if something is irritating us, that means there's kind of a barrier that is telling you, okay, be aware that this is not in line with what you need.
I would also say, though, to be mindful of separating trauma signals versus like intuition, right? In cases like that, because a lot of the times what we actually want, we want care, we want love, we want affection, but we never got that. And we have like a traumatic early childhood history or beyond. We're actually going to not be attracted to the things that we want. We're going to be attracted to the things that we've been receiving and is familiar to us, which we've mentioned. So I just want to say that as well.
Oh yeah, that's like what I was trying to refer to is really after you do all your healing work, all you do, your past traumas, your past conditioning, your past blockages, emotional blockages. I mean, the whole idea is to feel so comfortable in yourself, with your environment, with your entourage, that you can just unapologetically just be, you know. And then, well, I was more referring to the other person and how, I mean, I was referring to, let's say, if I'm in a good space, but then I want to communicate what is okay for me and what is not, my boundaries. And will I have to be over worried about what the other person might think or feel? Or this was more like my direction of thought.
Yeah. I love that. And I think also what plays a big role in that, Danielle, is if we are, and you mentioned this, I'll just take it a little bit deeper in this direction. If we are actually comfortable in ourselves with the boundaries that we are setting. And what I mean by that is, let's say that a boundary is, with friends, please don't call me after 10 p.m. But Are you actually living that boundary, that type of lifestyle that you've set? Are you actually living it and adhering to it? So that means, are you off your phone at 10? Are you not, I'm just picking a random example. Are you not, speaking with other friends and then telling other friends, oh, but I really don't want to be on the phone at 10 p.m. I chose a silly example. It is, but it isn't. I know I dealt with this in university, actually, because I wanted to be so focused in my studies and my sleep routine and waking up and going to the gym. But I noticed that there were times in my life where in that period of my life where I might not have been actually adhering to the actual boundary that I wanted to keep. And what does that mean? That said more about me. And oftentimes we do this in relationships, especially the close relationships we have, whether it's our parents, our kids, and especially our significant other. We might say that, oh, I want to wake up at 6 a.m. and go to the gym. And then 80% of the time we'll find excuses that, oh, but I'll sleep in because it's so nice sleeping next to you and cuddling with you. Oh, but, you know, I had to go for an extra long walk with the dog, or I didn't sleep well that night. And then what happens is we put ourselves and our needs last. We do this very often, especially once we're getting into a relationship, and we wonder, well, where did myself go? And then when we start to try and re-enter the boundary issues, because we've left ourselves, we've left our self-respect, we try to reinsert the boundaries, and then we find the other person, we've actually conditioned them to perhaps not respect us, to not respect what we need, to not respect what we want, because essentially we've started that work ourselves. You know, so it's really about, and I've chosen just some random examples, but we need to first peel the layers and get into what it is that we truly want before we get to the stage where Danielle said is the other person, because that's a very, like she said, pragmatic stage where can you hear me? Can you acknowledge my need? And there's an in-between stage between the trauma that Sahar was saying and the pragmatism that Danielle was using. The in-between is, well, who am I? Who am I? What am I asking for? Am I myself adhering to these base needs, desires? And, you know, that's where the boundaries come from. This is who I am. I'm a person that wakes up at 6 and goes to the gym. I'm a person that after 10 p.m., you know, no one calls me. And when you start to live with certain parameters that work for you, your circle knows it. And they're like, oh, it's 10:01, 10:05. Oh, I can't call Donna. I'm going to call her tomorrow. And people don't take it the wrong way. They just learn how to be with you. But if you're not comfortable with you and the choices that you've made and you haven't instilled them as part of your daily program and routine, then this is going to sound harsh, but that speaks more on you than it does on the other people that you are, you know, trying to assert your boundaries with. So you really have to get clear. And this is where a lot of the work is, definitely after you've healed traumatic states, you know, that Sahar referred to. And like I said, in this in-between creation process of who am I? And a lot of people, I see this as a coach, a lot of people are in this space right now, starting to uncover what it is that I really want. Who am I becoming? What's my dream vision of myself, and how do I get there? And so the steps in between are really about carving out this lifestyle design, you know, that hashtag life by design. How do I design my life? When I'm designing my life, though, am I actually adhering to the steps that I've written down, the things that I want? Because that also takes time, be it 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months. It takes time to shape that personality, to get to the stage, from what I understand of what Danielle was referring to, where I am firm. This is who I am. This is what I need. This is how I function. And then you get to, when you get to that point, ultimately, it actually doesn't faze you what the other people around you think or don't think. It's, are we compatible or not? Can you respect me or not? Do you fit into this model or not? And then it's like Danielle said, it actually becomes unemotional, you know, because you love who you are and who you become and what you need. And either the other people fit in or they don't. And it's actually much more black and white and simple. When we get to that stage. And I see a lot of people right now stuck in the muck of before, the muck being the trauma, and that in between uncovering, discovering who am I, what do I want. And having coached a lot of people in fitness, Sorry, my doggy wants out. Having coached a lot of people in fitness, you see that it takes time to develop routine. And boundary, when I hear the word boundaries, to me, it's also routine. Have I developed a routine for myself? And can I be consistent on that routine? Because if I'm consistent, I can't imagine many human beings that wouldn't either respect that or just take it how it is, right? Oh, that's Donna. She's waking up at 6 and going to the gym. There's nothing personal to take there. That's how she is, right? So it becomes impersonal. And I think this is a really cool topic because a lot of women, especially, we lose ourselves. I know I've taken the platform for a while, but we lose ourselves in relationship. And I guess that's mainly what I'm kind of referring to as well, is really start to find who you are, what defines you. I have the dog, now I have construction. And from there, create like a game plan. This is who I am. This is how I function. This is what I want. And from there, your boundaries start to create themselves. It's just, it's like a natural progression of setting the boundaries that, you know, we can take the conversation there too. And I want to hear like Sahar's take as well. Like when you're actually setting the boundaries, that's an interesting one, because that's where fear can come in, guilt can come in, fear of rejection, and, you know, many other issues. And I'm not even right now taking into account the other person across from you. You see, a lot of work, 99% of it comes from you yourself.
I'm seeing this painting that has these two people on the top, and then their roots are below, and the roots turn into faces. And it's like, when we get into relationship, we think it's the tip of the iceberg, and we're like, oh, you're hot, oh, you're like, you're smart, you're this, you're that, like, it's all the tip of the iceberg. And then like 2 months into the relationship is where you start to like really rub up on each other. And I think sometimes relationships could be very transformative in that way. They could be very alchemizing in that way. And I've been on this personal growth and development journey for like 10 years. And still like, I'm like, oh, back to that core wound and like back to that, like it's still not healed. So just want to bring in like joy and compassion and like some lightness to all this work too, because it's okay if you go back and you're like, oh my God, I thought I did that work already. And like, why am I not able to hold my boundaries up? So something for myself that I've noticed is just re-entering back into intimate relationships, because when you're by yourself and you do yourself work, you're like, you're strong. I'm in my power. I know what I'm doing. But in some ways, like for myself, personally speaking, I was like, oh my God, I'm hiding out, because there's other needs that I want to have met. There's wants that I want to have met through intimate relationships. And I need to make room for that in my life. And I know for a lot of overachiever women, we do it from a place of protection. We overachieve, and we want to make sure that we have our needs met, et cetera, by ourselves. Like mine was related to a very early childhood wound that I was like, I'll never let a man like take control of my life and blah, 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 because just personal coming back from a household where there was divorce, right? But the work, sometimes those early childhood things take a really long time to unravel. And so I just want to say, be compassionate if you feel like, oh my God, once again, I'm in this repetitive pattern. But what I've noticed personally was like one of the beliefs that came up, and the power of like being in awareness when you're going through life is so key, because that's how you're going to actually be aware of what your autopilot is and then be able to transform it. And it's okay if you have those as your autopilot, like there's no shame or judgment when they show up. For me, the biggest belief, and I think this is a belief that a lot of human beings hold, because when we come into this earth, we're vulnerable, we are dependent. We need to be dependent and reliant on our caregivers to raise us. The human, I think, child is the one that like stays the most dependent compared to all other animals and species. And the need for connection, like there's this test where they have this monkey that they have food and they have this like fake little toy, like that looks like a caregiver figure. And the monkey would rather want to be with the caregiver figure and the toy, like, which means that the need for connection is so strong for us. Like that's something that we have. And so we have to learn to get along with one another. But like what I had come up in this like starting of a relationship was either I choose the relationship or that person, or I choose myself, but I can't have both. Like there was just this idea that I can't be my true self and be loved. And that belief, like when I first, like I've known about it consciously, but it's something totally different when you like allow it to like bubble up from within you, from yourself. Because even if you consciously know something, it doesn't mean you have changed it. It doesn't mean you've transformed it. So that's the work that I've been doing with boundary setting, is how do I love myself, my true self, and still be in relationship? And so this is things like where I would, you know, put aside my true dreams and desires. I was like, oh, I can't choose that path because I won't be loved if I choose my soul path. You know, I can't be my true self because I won't be loved if I'm my true self. And so it's just, I bring that up because I want you to really take your time to be in awareness of what those beliefs are in your consciousness that are in your operating system that shape and design your perception. Because a lot of the times we don't want to set a boundary because we're scared we will lose love. We're scared of abandonment. And so sometimes we'll abandon ourselves, which is a behavior, a coping mechanism that we have learned growing up. So it's okay. That's your inner child that came up with a strategy to keep you safe and to keep you in survival. But at Prana Lakshmi and in this podcast in Adulting in the Modern World, we're really all about this shift from survival to thrival. And that's a biological evolutionary thing. That's not just like to me, to Donna and Danielle, but it's to all of humanity. We have to kind of recognize our ancestors had to do certain things in order to survive. So the way that we're wired, our limbic brain, the way that it's designed is like, I just find it fascinating. And I know that this isn't the conversation for us to dive into that. But like, I just want to say that this concept of boundary setting is so ancient and so new at the same time. And so if you feel like you're listening to this and they're like, oh my God, I don't have healthy boundaries and stuff, that's okay. I don't either. And I'm sure Donna and Danielle, we're all, it's a work in progress, and we're learning how to kind of do that dance and be fluid with it at the same time, because boundaries change, right? Like Donna, for example, like you may have wanted to wake up at 6 a.m. for a very long time and have like a specific routine. And then for a while, you're like, I don't want to have a routine. I want to be spontaneous and adventurous. And so it's okay if those things change. But my biggest takeaway from boundary setting is just don't abandon yourself. Don't abandon yourself and don't negotiate that, because you are lovable. And so just check your belief systems and see where you have things that are incongruent.
I love that. And I want to jump in here and say that, because as you were speaking, I had to take a note that something that comes up, you were talking about relationships, something that comes up big time is, and there's a distinction between waking up at 6 a.m., that's a routine, and a boundary would be more like, a value system, a respect system, you know, this is how I function as a human, and if the other person in my relationship can, you know, respect that or not. And intuition is huge, especially, you know, our podcast, our website, all of that, the studio, it's geared towards women, so I speak more to that, but obviously it can apply to men. And intuition and gut instincts, ladies, I mean, you set your, if you're in a relationship and you're in the process of setting some boundaries, and I would suggest do this as early as possible, you know, do it as early as possible, because that will really show the true colors and the strength of the relationship and if it can progress. And that saves you so much time and heartache. But let's say you're 5 years in, you're 10 years in, you've let time go by, you've had some kids, you know, and some of us have been there. And then you want to start setting boundaries, and you're allowed. You are allowed. Listen to your intuition and your gut. It's actually a stronger mind than this mind sometimes, especially when it comes to health and healing, what is healthy and good for us. And why I mention intuition with boundaries is because you may be setting a certain boundary for your love relationship, for instance. And your gut feeling is saying, yeah, the other person across from me is saying, yes, honey, sure, I agree with that. And your gut is telling you, red flag, beep, 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 something's up here. Because the fact that you have to reinstate, and I've been here too, you have to reinstate the same boundary over and over and over And then what happens? You might be called a nag. You might be saying that you're bringing in problems where they don't exist. And we've already talked about this. Why are we talking about it again? Well, that's because something inside me is giving off these flashing signals that, whoa, I've stated my boundaries. Not only stated them, I live them. This is how I function. I see it in other relationships. I'm able to function with these boundaries. They don't affect my other relationships. But here in this intimate one, I've previously allowed this person to step beyond these boundaries, blur them, cross them, go through them, you know, negotiate them, because as we were talking, you know, you mentioned fear of abandonment, fear of rejection, and the lines got blurred. So that when I, using myself as an example, got steady and strong and said, this is who I am, and I got clear on my boundaries, then I can tell when the other person, especially the love relationship, because you know that's where your real feelings and your gut starts to come into play. You say, wow, I can tell if this person is not respecting me. I can tell this person is overstepping. I can tell this person is treating me like a doormat or just brushing me aside, like, yeah, there she goes again. And if any of this sounds familiar to you, I suggest getting really deep inside. And for a little while, a few days, a week, 2 weeks, take your time away from this person. Even if you're living with them, take some time to seclude yourself and get really clear on what it is that you want. You know, you're reinstating this for yourself. And then maybe make two columns. A wise Danielle made me make two columns at some point, and it really helped. What is working? What is not working in the relationship? And these two columns for me had to do with boundaries, you know, with regards to intimacy, with regards to, family relations, with regards to kids, with regards to work and home, you know, how we function in our home. And those two columns, and maybe Danielle can help us a little bit more, what's working, what's not. And maybe a third column, red flags, like where has my gut already given me signals over and over and over again? And I want you to go there now in your relationship, if any of this is speaking to you right now, if you're in that type of relationship, because to let things slide and to keep letting time go by, yes, hindsight, you will see that, oh, my gut was speaking to me. Yeah, there it was. It spoke all these times. No time is lost. All self-work is good work. But if any of this really speaks to you, I suggest sit down with a notebook and make those lists and start to get clear. Because if your beloved can accept this as a conversation, then that's a really big green flag, you know, and go for it and be able to open the conversation and talk. If your beloved can't, then you've got another, perhaps, you know, red flag caution. You've got to work on this and see what this means for you. So I just had to jump in there, ladies, with the intuition aspect.
Wow. There are always so many great intuition aspects from you, from you, Donna and Sahar. I took a few notes of whatever you've said. And I was trying to, I'll do my best to bring in my contribution to our conversation as well. So we spoke about boundaries. Of course, that's the hot topic of today, and how to set good boundaries without sacrificing our true self and while staying within our justice, our reality, and staying in harmony, right? And staying in relationship with within kind of what is acceptable, what is not acceptable for me, for our relationship, for the other person. And we also discussed about joy and compassion, and the power of being in awareness and not on autopilot. And how do we stay true to our beliefs, but yet be dependent also in some ways? Correct me if I'm wrong. And how to, somehow, I think, Saha, you pointed out, I mean, in your conversation, you pointed out on trauma, on inherited beliefs, on conditioning. And I think these are really, really important and really back to what you said before the podcast, while we were discussing how to be vulnerable, to be okay being vulnerable, yet empowered. And that deserves definitely another podcast. I love that topic. It's such a complex topic and it's so deep. You always raise very deep subjects and they're complicated. And sometimes I find a hard time to narrow down solutions and narrow down kind of like a simple way, because part of what I do is like I try to simplify things so it's a lot easier for me, for others, for everyone. And I love how Donna brings in all her wisdom and how she puts in, you know, how she takes that kind of concept and puts it in to a reality of life, how to apply it in reality, how to, and she checks on all different angles, like the person's angle, in this case, setting boundary, the person who's setting the boundary and the other one who's receiving the boundary and the other people affected. So I think what's important really, like Donna said, totally in, like what you said, Sahar, but I'm just going to try to kind of say it in my own way. Like, let's say, just to give a very simple example that is more tangible, that is tangible and concrete and kind of that is more, you know, everything, if you visualize things in front of you like a movie, it's a lot easier to understand sometimes. So let's say you are already someone who is really okay in your career. You know exactly what you want. You have already your set time, work timings. You have already your comfortable income. You already are in a very comfortable space or level in your personal growth. You have a set entourage. So you are really like in a kind of in a place where you're comfortable with life in general and with yourself. Then now you're entering a relationship, you're entering a new relationship. So it's actually that person is entering your world as well that is already set, right? So you are clear on your discipline, you're clear on your routine, you're clear on your values, you're clear on your time, you're clear on your purpose, on your life, on your values, on your sense of direction, direction as well. So things are a lot easier, even for that person to come in, they have to accept you as you are, right? So putting boundaries becomes effortless. Then you don't really have to set that much of a boundary because you already have your life going. Now, for people, for example, like me, I'll give myself as an example. So I had to change my career. I chose to change my career after 2 decades and to a completely different kind of career. So I went from corporate to a holistic lifestyle. So to a holistic career. I had to set a lot of boundaries and a lot of people didn't understand it. A lot of people did accept it, but a lot did not understand it because it was a complete shift. So there I am in the midst of, at the beginning, not even in the mid, at the beginning of my growth in my new career, while I'm in my 40s, I had just entered my 40s. And now I'm about to turn 44 in 2 months. I'm kind of like everything is growing, you know, my career is growing, my concept is growing, my self-confidence is growing in my own career. I mean, it takes a while until you understand your own style, you have more faith in your own style. So I'm in a very comfortable space now, but it's something I need to develop and translate and apply within my platforms, within my communication, within everything that I do around me, right? And my timings have changed as I'm growing. So now let's say if there is a new person coming into my life, so I'm setting these new values, discipline, direction, ethics, code of ethics, life ethics, purpose, and schedule, let's say, and things to do myself. So now I have to also apply it on that person, right? That person has to accommodate. Do you see what I'm trying to say? So if we are, so I'm not lost in what I'm about to do, but it's something new. So if that person knew me before I incorporate these, it will be very difficult to set these boundaries. But like Donna said, it's never late, because that person should understand, should support. If they want to really honor your growth, they really want to honor your values, because your values have always been there. You just are stating them in a different way. You have different needs, but that correspond to your values. I'm a strong believer that values of each person, they're there from the beginning. And you just kind of shape them and uncover them and strengthen them. So it's really challenging. It's challenging for both. But really, again, it's more, if we're lost in direction, discipline, purpose, life, values, ethics, our own schedule, our own priorities, we will not be able to set any boundaries at all, not healthy and not unhealthy, just no boundaries. But if we clarify all of these and we stay true to ourselves, then everything falls in really effortlessly, really, really effortlessly. And coming back to what you said, Sahar, like the traumas, and to really not be afraid of being who we are, needs a lot of work on us, so we can unapologetically just be the goddess or the god we are meant to be. And I'd like to also respect other religions who would listen to this. When I say god or goddesses, it doesn't mean that we are replacing God. It's just that God is part of us always. It's part of everything. It would be very naive to think, or very selfish or very ignorant to think, that we don't need anyone, that we can heal ourselves alone. We always need to face, every time we face a challenge, this is where we work our shadows. The same thing in our health. When the system is off, then it's like a challenge. We have to work it. So that's all I have to add.
Ladies, this was a really good conversation. And I know it's actually a big one, because as Sahar mentioned at some point, in order to set boundaries, we've really got to also be self-caring, self-nurturing, self-loving, self-healing. And we can't do this all alone. A lot of the process is an individual one, but we are a species that is made to interact with one another and be nurtured and nurture. So this was a really good conversation. I feel like there is more, you know, for another episode. But this is a woman's perspective. This is a coach's perspective. We three function in different ways, the way we coach our clients, which is really cool. I love that, because I love getting the different perspectives. So really good conversation and talk on boundaries, ladies. And I hope the nuggets that our listeners take away really help them in their relationships, and really defining, you know, what is a healthy way of being and interacting, and sorry, that's my puppy, and relating with our beloveds.